This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is your call to action. Get prepared, America. Economy, survival, energy, disasters. This is USAprepares.com. Informative radio, educational radio. Interact now by emailing instructor@USAprepares.com or text at 434-390-7953. Class, please take your seats. Now, your instructor, Vincent Finelli.
Everyone all set? Cocked, locked, hour number two of USA Prepares. Kyle's in the front of the classroom with the blackboard. I'm delighted to be broadcasting with Kyle. We're talking about tires and wheels and balancing and problems and et cetera. One of the things that that also happens with wheels and in the balancing arena is bent wheels or bent rims. And we've seen this. Even aluminum magnesium wheels. So hitting a pothole, bang, it can bend a wheel. And you might not notice immediately after that. It might take a few miles. And go, Jesus, doesn't quite feel right. And what happens is the wheels can get bent. That's steel wheels, aluminum magnesium wheels. All wheels can be bent by hitting a hard object at, you know, at the right speed. Kyle, have you experienced that?
I have. I've seen it many times, Vince. You know, and the crazy thing is the narrower the sidewall, you know, the closer the rim is to the ground, the more if you hit a pothole, the more apt you are to either break a belt in the tire and cause it to start running out of round or to bend the rim. But what you said about putting it on the tire machine, making sure everything is square, you know, and put in correctly and tight and flush, that and spinning it by hand, that's always a wise idea if you have one, if you're doing this by yourself. It helps you, you know, if you put it together right, and you spin it, and you don't see it, you see it a little bit out around, you start looking carefully. The first thing is you double check to make sure that you put it on there right. Because we're humans, we make mistakes. Even though we think we might have done it perfect, there might be times when you didn't. You know, you caught the lip of the cone off of the edge of the tire, and it's not perfectly balanced as it's going onto the tire balancer. So you check that first, and then you, like you said, you check the run out, the where the tire is, if it doesn't look like it's running straight. You look at the edge of the rim as you spin it by hand. You can see if it's an out. And in that case, there's no, if that, what we be able to bend, a lot of times I have actually seen where people come in, Vince. One time it happened with a lady that had a magnesium rim on a Pontiac that she was driving, and she had a tire kept, had a slow leak in it. Well, when we put the tire, you know, started checking, there was no leaks in the tire and there was a crack in the rim. I couldn't believe it was still together, but there was a slight crack in that magnesium rim, and that was causing her leak, and she had hit a pothole.
And we've seen that as well. And so one of us here at the farm was driving down a road, and it was getting dark, and the highway department decided they were going to repair the road. And what they did was they took one of these machines that grinds off, let's say, the first couple of inches of road, and they take that material and they put it in a dump truck and they haul it away. Well, when they ground off part of this road, they ground it off perfectly square with the road, and they didn't mark it. So it was, let's say, a 55-mile-an-hour zone. And it was kind of winding, a country road, 55 miles an hour. And they didn't mark that they were working on the road. And so you're driving along and you don't expect to hit a 3-inch rise in the road. You don't expect it. Or a 3-inch drop in the road. Or a drop and then a rise in the road. So you, at 55 miles an hour, you can bend wheels. You can damage the belts. Break the belts on a steel belted tire. And that's what happened to us. So multiple wheels were damaged and three out of four of the tire belts were broken. And of course, I called, the highway department. They said, oh, there's no sign. I said, no, there's no sign. And they said, yeah, we just started that today. And yeah, I guess they were in a hurry and they left and there's nobody there and there's no sign that there was road work. And so I said, so I've got this damage. So I'm going to complete the report and I'm going to be compensated for the damage. Now, why am I telling you this, class? Because when the highway department does things like that and they cause hazards and they don't, this is an intentionally caused hazard. Now, they didn't do it in order to damage people's equipment, but they did it intentionally and they didn't mark that they did it. So we have proof that it wasn't marked. We have proof of the road conditions, and they're going to pay for the damage. Now, they're insured for this. And the woman who I called at the State Department was really concerned. It's like, oh, yeah, they just did that today, and yeah. So they're aware of these kinds of things because people make mistakes. But that doesn't mean you have to suffer the damage. That doesn't mean that you have to pay for it. So when they inflict conditions like this on you, and your equipment is damaged, you can go after them, and they're insured for it. And I plan to be compensated for the tires that have the damaged belts and the bent wheels. I expect to be compensated for that, and I will be. Now, it may take a couple months, but I'm going to pursue it, and I'm not going to yield. So you can too. So you call the Department of Transportation, you call the county, and you find out where how to file the claim, and then file that claim. Now, one of the things that I mentioned, Kyle, have you ever had that where you filed a claim against the road maintenance people?
No, I haven't, Vince. I haven't ever done that one.
Okay. Well, and you can, okay? If it's a bona fide reason, I would file the claim. I absolutely would. So it's not like, and I wasn't driving, it was somebody else in the family, but and it's not like we're careless and reckless drivers. That's not the case at all. The case is, and the conditions were perfect for not being able to see that they ground off part of the road. That was the case. And it's not like a cat, we could have seen a cat going across the road or a dog, or a trash can or something like that. But this is just a grinding off of the road surface. I wanted to mention that the reason there's something else that I do regarding the lubrication of the lug nuts and the lug bolts. Here in Missouri, we've seen a condition that we've never seen before. And that is that wheels on the rear of vehicles get stuck on the vehicle. And we, unbolt them, remove the wheel bolts, the lug nuts, etc. And the wheel won't come off. And what happens is these aluminum alloy wheels get cemented, glued, rusted on, whatever you want to call it, corrosion, because of the road salt, they don't want to come off the axle. They do not want to come off. Have you ever seen that, where you've actually had to hammer them and lubricate them and heat them and to get the wheel off the vehicle? Have you ever had that problem?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. In fact, I just changed, took my studded tires off of my car and my Toyota, it's a little Camry. Anyway, I took the wheels and tires off of it and swapped it back over, took the studs off, and went to my normal summer tires. And interestingly enough, especially if the car has these little rings that fit around the end, they go on the inside ring of your steel rim. It tends to just always be that. And I have had them with pickup trucks where literally you had to have a sledgehammer to to break them loose, crawl underneath their small sledgehammer and hit them on the, I hit mine usually on the inside and will spin the tire around while I beat it loose. But with this little car, there's that inside lip and the rim fits over that lip, and then it lines up pretty perfect with the rest of the lug nuts, because you get the lug nuts on there, other than you got to make sure that they're turned left and right. But as far as the center of the circle that they're running in, they stay concentric. Well, the rim tends to rust to that little lip that's on the hub assembly on the back of your car, and it is seemingly always the back. Most of the time when it's a little car like that, I can sit down and kind of lean back and kick one side of the tire or the other side of the tire back and forth a couple of times, and it'll bust loose, which it did yesterday. But then I do tend to lubricate that little steel rim in my car, and my wife's car has it as well. You take a little bit of grease, and I'll put it on the inside of that rim just so that hopefully will not be a problem next time I have to swap them out. But we have the other thing, Vince, we were talking about tire wear last time. This is an interesting thing. I was talking to one of the guys at Costco one time. I bought some tires there, and they were putting them on, and they came out with a 60,000-mile warranty on these tires, and I thought, boy, that's great. And I asked him, I said, don't you guys, are these tires, compensated somehow? If you, because we chip seal, they chip seal the roads around here to harden them. So they will put the asphalt down, and then what they do is they mix tiny bits of rock, chips of rock, with this kind of I'm not sure exactly the chemical composition, but it's like an epoxy. Anyway, it's mixed with these rocks, and they set that on top of the asphalt, and it makes the road last longer, but it will eat your tires up way faster. And I asked the guy at Costco, I said, well, don't they, figure that in when they're, especially in this area? And he said, they don't. And I've told them, I've actually called the company and told them that around here with chip sealed roads, there's no chance that those tires are going to last 60,000 miles. And, they told him, said, well, nobody really keeps their car hardly that long anymore. And, they don't keep the receipt or try to, pursue a warranty against the tire if it doesn't make 60,000 miles. And I thought that was an interesting comment, but it's an interesting corporate decision as well.
Mm-hmm. I had some Kumho tires at one time, K-U-H-M-O, and I thought they were okay. And one of the steel belts failed. So the tire became eccentric, and it would thump down the road. So I called Kumho, and I checked the other tires, and I had a problem, I think, with two of them. So I called Kumho, and they said, "Oh yeah, bring it to a tire shop. Yeah, there's one in Springfield, which is like a 100-mile round trip, and have them look at it." And I said, "Well, I've got a tread depth indicator, and the tires are about three quarters remaining." And they said, we'll warranty. That's not a problem. I said, so before I go all the way to Springfield, what is the warranty? And they said, it's going to be like $20. They give me $20 or $22 for the tires. I said, really? So that's all I'm going to get? It will cost more in fuel to go there than I'm going to get back. And I have to buy four tires because it was on an all-wheel drive vehicle.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Attention real estate investors. Do you need cash immediately? If you own one or multiple rental properties, you can use your equity to get cash out fast. The best part is we don't need tax returns or even a good credit score. At America's Loan Source, we are not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We make the decisions to loan you money and there's no limit how much we can give you. Some clients have gotten as much as $500,000 or more within days. Use the money any way you want. If you own one rental property or 100 and COVID has left you in a cash crunch, we can help you turn your equity into fast cash. Call now for details and close in as little as 10 days and get the cash you need.
800-507-6553. 800-507-6553. 800-507-6553. That's 800-507-6553.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
It's going to be sliding. When you go for 2 seconds.
Class is back in session. Turn up the volume. USAPrepares.com with the original survival economist, Vincent Fennelly.
So, back to these tires. And let's say that I had one tire on this all-wheel drive vehicle. It happened to be a Mercedes for E430, so it's a 2000 model. And it's a great little car. It's an all-wheel drive. This particular one's called a 4MATIC, the number 4, M-A-T-I-C, which means all-wheel drive in Mercedes nomenclature. So this antique, or almost antique car, has this all-wheel drive system. And when you have all-wheel drive, all four tires have to be the same. They have to be the same make, they have to be the same model, they have to be the same size, and in my world, they have to be from the same manufacturing facility. So even though they may be a specific brand, you want them from the same factory. That way, they're the same size. And why is it important? Well, if you do some research, you'll find out that the automobile manufacturers will say that if you have an all-wheel drive vehicle, the tires must be within 2/32nds of an inch. From smallest to largest. So if you have 3/4 wear, as I did on left on the tires, and let's say they were 12/32nds of an inch tread depth originally, and I had 3/4 wear remaining, that means that I've worn off roughly 3/32nds, which means that it's outside the maximum limit of being within 2/32nds of an inch from smallest to the new replacement tire, which would be the 12/32nds. That means that if I wanted to protect the drivetrain of this Mercedes and not destroy the transfer case I would have to replace not one tire that was bad, four tires that were bad. That's the problem with all-wheel drive tire, all-wheel drive vehicles. When you have one tire that fails, you need to keep all of them the same size, which means you're probably going to buy four tires. So what? Well, Kyle, what are your thoughts about that? Have you experienced anything like this?
Oh yeah. In fact, Vince, it's interesting. Around here, Subarus are extremely popular, and they're very durable, very tough little vehicles. They last a long time. They do real well in the ice and snow around here. I've owned a couple of them. But I went away from all-wheel drive just for that very reason. My pickups are four-wheel drive, and most all the other times we run front-wheel drive, and we, as long as we have good tires, we can get by. But the only Subaru transmission I ever saw go out completely was because the lady did just exactly what you're talking about. She ran a tire. She had a tire that had a flat, and her spare was so small, it was smaller than the one tire she had in there. And she ran that for like, I can't remember, 60 or 80 miles is all it took. And it, her car had a lot of miles on it, like 200 and, if I remember, it was like 220,000 miles on it already. But, anyway, it took the transmission out. It was gone. So anyway, yeah. That's my thought on it. I went away from all-wheel drive cars just for that reason.
Yeah, and we have two. We're not going to buy any more. Now, four-wheel drive is not the same as all-wheel drive. Four-wheel drive is a lot tougher. The running gear, drive train is much more substantial in a four-wheel drive vehicle than a two-wheel drive vehicle. So all-wheel drive means wet, dry, snow, ice. All four wheels have the potential for propelling that vehicle. And they're all going at slightly different speeds when you go around a curve. The inside wheels go more slowly than the outside wheels. The outside wheels try to catch up, and they can go faster. So if all four wheels are connected to the drivetrain, there's a potential. It's not always the case, but sometimes it's the case where they're fighting, the tires are fighting each other. Well, with an all-wheel drive vehicle, you really need to have the tires the same size to prevent some of that fighting, or most of that fighting. With a four-wheel drive vehicle, they can take it. You can actually have, you know, BF Goodrich on the front, and you can have, you know, Michelin on the back. Assuming they're the same size on the sidewall, you can do that, and it'll probably be okay. That is not the case with an all-wheel drive vehicle. All-wheel drive vehicle, you need to have all four tires the same make, model, size, and in my world, from the same factory. So to compensate for these expensive problems, if you get a flat tire or you get a belt that fails, we buy five or six tires at the same time, and we buy multiple wheels, and we rotate the new ones in with the old ones so that they all have about the same wear. So if one of them gets destroyed, we're still okay. We don't have to buy four more, and that really works for us. But it's really handy if you have your own lift.
You hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the Health Insurance Hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. Call 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Orange, California is being rocked by the deadliest shooting in more than 20 years. A child and three adults were killed on Wednesday, but the reason why is still unclear. Police say a gunman was firing when they arrived at the scene of a two-story office building. At least one officer fired back and the suspect was hit. A fifth woman was also found shot. She and the suspect are in the hospital, said to be in critical condition. In a speech in Pittsburgh on Wednesday, President Joe Biden unveiled his $2 trillion infrastructure plan, consisting of traditional projects such as roads and bridges, as well as funding to combat climate change. Republicans on Capitol Hill pointing out only 25% of the plan actually is toward infrastructure. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer: it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer: Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer: excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite. Going a little bit more in depth on one of our top stories, President Biden says he has no problems asking companies to pay to fix aging roads, bridges, and rail lines. Biden wanting to raise the corporate tax rate from 21% to 28%. He admits he's open to other ideas for his American Jobs plan, but vows he won't raise taxes on those making less than $400,000 a year. South Dakota Republican Governor Kristi Noem disagrees and says everyone will be paying for this bill.
Every single family will pay the price for what Joe Biden's agenda is. He will drive up the cost of the food and their grocery bill. He will drive up the cost of their utilities, their gas prices, the cost of their cars, the clothes they dress their children in. I was shocked by how much doesn't go into infrastructure. It goes into research and development. It goes into housing and pipes and different initiatives, green energy. It really is not an honest conversation we're having about what this proposal is. We're going to be back here a couple of years from now wishing that we weren't in a situation where people had less money, all their costs were increased, and the country was declining.
The Pentagon announced that the military will now perform gender transitions for service members. Once an individual gets a diagnosis from the military medical system that gender transition is necessary, commanders then must act on the request within 90 days. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
No whining. Only expert guests and seasoned opinions. Instruction that matters. At the controls, Vincent Finelli.
I'm just getting back to the stuck wheels on the rear axles of vehicles. It seems to be a problem, at least in Montana and Missouri. It's because of the road salt. And so here's what we do. We take a fine film of grease, and it can be synthetic grease, it can be conventional, and we put a fine film of grease on the hole, the center hole of the wheel, where the wheel attaches to the axle. And the reason for that is that seems to be where it gets stuck. And we put a little bit on the back of the wheel, but we make sure that we don't get, and I'm talking about a very thin film. So kind of apply some grease and then wipe it off, that kind of a thing. And the idea is to reduce the corrosion so the wheel doesn't stick to the axle. And that seems to help a lot. And what we do to get these wheels off, and you can experience this, Glass. If you have a flat tire in the rear of a vehicle, you may find that you can jack the car up if you know how to do that, and you can loosen the lug nuts, and then you can try to take the wheel off, and it may not come off because it's rusted on. And that's a heck of a time to find this out, because if you don't have some lubricant and a way of heating up the wheel, like an electric heat gun, that kind of thing, that's what we do, and we gently tap with a large hammer and a 4x4 block of wood on the tire itself to kind of gently get that shock the wheel axle assembly, once the lug nuts are removed, to, after we lubricate it, to get that wheel off, because we don't want to bend the wheel. But it can be a real problem if you have a flat tire and you can't get your wheel off your axle. So I just wanted to mention that. Kyle, we've got a call. Martin in California, welcome. You're on with Kyle and me.
Yeah, I got a 94 Oldsmobile fuel injected, and it runs like a champ, but in the morning it dies 2-3 times. I have to let it warm up for maybe 4-5 minutes, and then it runs like a champ, but it keeps dying on me, and it acts like, well, like the old cars. You have, you know, you use a choke to keep it going, but I don't know what keeps it from running constantly, you know.
Give me a hint. What kind of a Oldsmobile? You have a 94 Oldsmobile. What model? What it's size engine do you have?
It's a V6 3.0. Let's see. It's a station.
Okay, well, it's a V6 3.0. Okay. So what service have you done? Have you done things like how many miles are on the spark plugs? How many miles are on the air cleaner? How about the PCV system? Have you looked at that?
Yeah, I cleaned all that up about 3-4 months ago. And okay. I cleaned a massive air cleaner, you know, the
mass sensor. Air sensor, yeah.
Yeah. So other than that, I don't know what else to do. Change the oil, I always do that. But other than that, I understand some people will say it's a gas sensor, that it gives it more gas if it's cold. It acts like a choke. But it I does. Don't know where that would be.
Well, there are temperature sensors. There's a coolant temperature sensor. There are many sensors in these vehicles. And based on the outside temperature, based on the block temperature, there's an algorithm that supplies the correct amount of fuel to your engine. So if that sensor is not working properly, that could cause a problem. But also, a vacuum leak could cause this kind of a problem. So you could have a vacuum hose that is either not connected properly or has a crack in it. That could cause it. You could have a plugged fuel filter that could cause it. You could have one or more spark plugs that are fouled. That could cause this. You could have a plugged up air cleaner. And you mentioned that you cleaned the mass airflow sensor. Now, how did you do that, Martin? How did you clean the mass airflow sensor?
Oh, they got this spray thing. You know, you can spray into it, and it acts real sensitive then, you know, on stop signs and so forth. And that's...
Well, the way the mass airflow sensor works is there's a heated element, and based on the volume of air that goes across this little heated element to cool it, that determines how much air is coming into your engine, and that tells the computer how much fuel to mix with the air that's going in for the precise, roughly 14.1 parts of air to one part of fuel. That's what that is all about. And how did you clean it? Did you clean it with the engine running or not?
I cleaned it when it was dead, and then I sprayed it while the engine was running, and then it'll run wild for a second or two, and then I discontinued it.
Yeah. The way I do it is I try to clean it with the engine not running, because I don't want that little element to be heated, and I don't want to shock it with the cold spray of the cleaner. So there is a mass airflow sensors cleaner. There's also a carburetor cleaner, and I believe they're very similar, and you can use, in most cases, either one. I do it when it's cold, but I don't use a lot. You only need a very little amount, you know, just that's it. That's all you need to do, and you need to spray that in the center of the mass airflow sensor plumbing. And that should, you know, that should take care of that problem. But it sounds to me like you have either, I mean, it could be a lot of things. It could be spark plugs. It could be a vacuum leak. It could be one of the sensors for the coolant. Now, what I would do is I would go to the internet and I would type in 1994 Oldsmobile 3.0 and describe your problem, you know, in very few words. And you'll find a lot of answers. You'll find a lot of answers. But when you pulled your spark plugs, you said you cleaned your spark plugs, or did you just replace them?
No, I cleaned them.
How did you clean them?
Oh, I got one of these sandblasters, Yule type.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah.
I put them in there, and then I regapped them, and they weren't burned or anything, so I just reused them.
Now, when you say you regap them, why did you have to regap them? How many miles were on them? Because typically, spark plugs don't show that much wear, you know,
yeah,
between
well,
the center electrode.
I just, you know, used the gapper and just to make sure, but it there wasn't any, you know, readjustment at all really in it, so I just took a, you know, assurance that it was right.
Okay. Well, here's what I do. I always, with brand new spark plugs, I always check the gap. And there are different kinds of feeler gauges. There's a flat feeler gauge, there's a disc feeler gauge, and there's a, like a wire style feeler
yeah,
gauge.
Yeah, that's the
Any
one
of
I
them,
used.
The wire?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one I prefer too for spark plugs. And, but they'll all work. But the round one, the wire type is my preferred go-to choice. But so did you look up the exact gap for that particular vehicle?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's what makes the difference.
Yeah. And how far out of gap was the largest variance from factory spec?
Oh, it was hardly nothing. I mean, it was so close that I really didn't need to gap it, but I just checked it to make sure. That's all it amounts to.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well,
sounds like
you know, it's difficult.
Sounds like I have to do a lot of rechecking over the whole engine again.
Well, let me answer something here real quick. Have you checked your idle air control valve?
No, I don't even know what that is.
Well, there's on a lot of these computerized cars in the early ones, they had a fuel pressure regulator, but they also had an idle air control valve. And so look that up for where it is. I can't remember exactly where that's at on that early of a model one. But sometimes if your idle air control is malfunctioning, it will not allow your car to want to run right, especially when it's cold. But when the engine heats up, then the idle air control valve will kick in and start working correctly.
Okay, I got a manual. I'll look it up through that. And
yeah.
From there,
Kyle is absolutely correct. Kyle's absolutely correct. And you're looking at about a $20 part that's typically put in with just a couple screws. Literally two screws and, I don't know, maybe less than a half an hour if you've never done it before.
Where is
so
it located
that's,
at?
Let's see. Well, they're in different. It's usually on top of the engine, but
okay.
Let me see if I can find it for you. I'm going to see if I can find a picture of it.
Well, that's all right. I'll look it up in the manual. It'll probably show it there pretty clearly.
It will. It'll show it.
At least
that's worth looking at. But one of the questions that I had was, when you pulled out your spark plugs, did you see any variance from one cylinder or one spark plug to the next? Or did they all look the same?
They all look the same.
Good for you. So it sounds like you're on top of your maintenance. And that was one of the things that Kyle and I were going to talk about today, that you can read spark plugs and you can look at how well each cylinder is working compared to all the others. And I have a feeling that you do that. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah, because it's an old car. And these new cars they scare me because I don't know what the hell, you know, these computers and so forth. I'm not into any of that, but this is a simple car, I think. I mean,
sort of simple.
Yeah. So
it's got a computer, but yeah.
Yeah, but other than that, I'm very happy with it. It runs like a top. Other than that.
And one last question I have for you. This spark plug cleaner that you have, is it a Vixen, V-I-X-E-N brand?
Oh, I don't know.
It mounts on the wall with two screws. You have a push button. It uses an abrasive compound. It's got a little bag. You push the spark plug in the top. You hook it up to a compressor hose, and you turn your face away so you don't get blasted with dust.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the one we have. It's made by Vixen, V-I-X-E-N. I bought mine back in the 70s, and I use it. But when you do this, you need to make sure that you get all the abrasive out of it. How do you do that?
Oh, I never did that. It is the old. I just use it on my car. So
you got to get the abrasive out of the. You got to get the abrasive off the spark plug threads, off the center insulator, and off the side insulator as well. So here's what I do.
I clean it with gas.
Okay, but you do. All right, that's dangerous, but it'll work. But you do wash it off before you put the spark plugs back in the
absolutely.
Engine, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's critical. Here's what I do. I have cans of Walmart spray lubricant. They're about $2 a can. What I do is I take the compressor and I take the spark plugs outside and I blast the air away from me and I blast all the abrasive I can get off from the threads of the spark plug in the center electrode. Then I rinse them with the spray lubricant, which I believe is clean and relatively pure, and that gives me a final rinse without dipping them in gasoline. You might want to consider trying that, Martin.
Okay, thank you very much for the lead.
All right, guy, thanks so much. And George, you're on next.
If there's a sudden disaster and you can't get to the grocery store, or they're all out of food, what would you do? You'll wish you had emergency food to get you through the crisis. And that's why we're here. We're MyPatriotSupply.com, America's leading source of emergency food. Our food lasts for up to 25 years, and millions of families trust us for their disaster survival. Won't you join us? Unlike other food companies, we don't skimp on calories. Our meals give you more than 2,000 calories per day. Why? Because that's what you need to survive any challenging crisis. And right now, you can save $200 on our popular 3-month emergency food kit. Just go to MyPatriotSupply.com and place your order. We ship fast, 2 to 3 days max, and your food arrives discreetly right to your door. So order today and save $200 at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management.
Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. That's 800-880-1896.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
Pencils, paper, notebooks, iPads. Class is now in session. USAPrepares.com. Educational radio. Set your memory to high power. Your USAPrepares.com instructor, Vincent Finelli, at the controls.
So we've had problems like that on vehicles. They are typically vacuum leaks, cracked vacuum hoses, worn spark plugs. They are a plugged fuel filter, weak fuel pump, or, as Kyle said, malfunctioning idle air control, which we have seen once. Let's see. I think you're right on the money, Kyle, with that one. George in Mississippi, welcome.
Good morning, guys. I am replacing the deck on my trailer, and I was wondering if you knew of anything that I could put on it to where it won't rot again.
Yeah, you can put Thompson's Water Seal on it, and a lot of people have done that. Now, I've got a trailer that I'm going to be redecking. It sounds like that's what you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I happen to have a John Deere trailer. It's roughly a little over 6 feet wide, 8 feet long. And what John Deere did was they took plywood, 3/8 of an inch treated plywood, and they cut it into 2 foot wide strips, and they just shoved it into a channel, and that is the entire decking. But I don't like that. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to use pressure treated wood, and I'm going to replace the decking with pressure treated wood, and I'm going to leave it outside in the sun for a while and make sure that because the wood's typically green when it's pressure treated, it's still soaking wet. Then what I'm going to do after it dries out is I'm going to put a water sealer, like Thompson's deck sealer, on it, and that's it. And that's what a lot of guys do. Have you considered that?
That's what I got. Mine's a 6x12, and I'm putting 2x6 boards on, and get it back going. I'm just finished taking it off and got the bolts out and getting ready to put the deck back on.
Mm-hmm. And what are you going to do about the wheel bearings? Are you going to take the hub caps off and Yeah, and repack the wheel bearings?
I recently did that about a year ago, but I guess I need to get back in there and redo that again.
Yeah, here's what I do. I mean, as a quick way of doing it, I'll pull those little caps off, the hubcaps off, and I will, when I pack wheel bearings, I'll take grease and I'll put it, one of those latex gloves on, and I'll put a, you know, like a tablespoon of grease in the palm of my hand, and then I will force the grease through each needle of the wheel bearing until it comes out the other side. Is that what you do?
Yeah, I make sure that I get all the bearings greased really good before I put them back in there.
Then what I do is I add extra grease in between the inner and the outer wheel bearings in that wheel hub, and then I put the wheel bearings in and I tighten them, and I like a little bit of play. And this is an art. I'd like to hear Kyle's comments. You don't want the wheel bearings too loose, and you don't want them too tight. If they're too tight, they can fail. If they're too loose, they can fail. So I don't really want to say how to do it on the air, because if someone leaves them too loose, you can have an accident and a failure. And if they're too tight, the same thing. Kyle, do you have any comments about greasing wheel bearings and putting extra grease in the center of the hub between inner and outer?
Yeah, same kind of a thing, Vince. There's a real dance with tightening those up and learning how to I tighten mine down, and then I might just back it off just a tiny bit just to where I can just feel it. The other thing that you can consider for your deck of your trailer that I have used is a product called Man of War, and I have had extremely good luck with that on decks of vehicles and stuff. I have had better luck with that then I have Thompson's Water Seal, and I've used them both. But anyway, that's just the thought on it.
And okay, Man of War is brand new to me. That's a new product to me. That's great, George. Back to you.
A friend of mine suggested, after I bought everything for it, he said maybe you should go back with some composite on there. That way you don't have to worry about doing it. I said, well, that might be an idea for the next time, but I already have everything, and I'm not going to bring it back and then go look for it.
How long did the first deck last?
Well, this is actually the second time I'm decking it. So I think it's been about 10 years since I decked it the last time.
Kyle, what's your experience? How long do they last for you?
Well, I'm still going on mine. I would say right at now 12 years, and it's doing fine. In fact, my son-in-law just borrowed it the other day. I am about ready to put some more of that Man of War on there, just for the sake of resealing it, because you know this particular trailer sits outside, so it has everything on it. I haven't got a place to be able to park it underneath anything.
We've got a trailer that we bought around 1989, and it needs a couple boards replaced. Not all of them, just a couple. So if you use good quality wood, it can last quite a long time. So I don't know. But the John Deere with the plywood, and that's going to be on its third deck in, let's say, 35 years. George, thank you for calling. Thanks for... being part of the class.
Thank you for the information on the tires. I really learned a lot.
Oh, great. Great. I'm glad you did. And Kyle, thank you for your expertise and being with us and sharing your knowledge.
Ben.
And I think you're right on the money with the idle air control. Class, we'll see you next.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, Take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.